Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Our theme for today is, God said, I will be with you. God said, I will be with you. We're in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We said before that Moses had a great education. He had all this wonderful training, wonderful background. He was a cultured and refined man. He had lived as royalty in the house of Pharaoh, not just as if he were in the house of some high official. He was treated as royalty, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so, I mean, he had all the benefits, all the privileges, all of that. And at age 40, he lost it all. At age 40, he's wiped out. He becomes a wanted man, a criminal in the eyes of the law. And so he spends the next 40 years on the backside of the desert, out in the middle of nowhere. They didn't have any stoplights in this town. Okay? I mean, it was really out in the wilderness. And his job was to take care of his father-in-law's sheep. His father-in-law was Jethro, the Midianite, and that's whose sheep he was taking care of. And it was not a happy situation. And day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, just more of the same. Talk about boring, no TV, no PlayStation, no Wii. I mean, it was just me and the sheep. I mean, he's out there in the middle of nowhere, and it's just all the same until one day, after years, after decades of doing this job, all of a sudden, he sees something he's never seen before. There's a bush that's on fire. Well, that's not completely unprecedented. There could be various things that could have caused that, most likely a lightning strike. So, all right, there's a bush on fire. No big deal. But he looks again later, and this bush is still on fire. What in the world is going on? How could this be? And so Moses does something that is instructive for us. Moses said, I'm going to go over there and look and see what's going on. That's a good thing. In fact, look at the text. It says, verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him. God didn't call to him until he went to investigate what God showed him. And when he went to check it out, when he went to investigate, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that, God called to him from within the bush. And God called him by name. Moses answers, here I am. And God says something interesting here. Don't come any closer. What? I thought we want to get as close to God as possible. Well, there's a problem. God is holy. We are sinful. And so the only way that we can come and get close to God is through a sacrifice that takes away our guilt. All through the Old Testament, God had given his people instruction about offering blood sacrifice that would make it possible for them to live in communion with God. That's why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was not. Abel offered a lamb from his flock. Cain offered some of the produce he'd grown. That was not what God was looking for. Because the penalty for sin is death. And in order for us to be spared, there has to be a substitute to die in our place. Jesus is the sacrifice provided by God. He is the Lamb of God who is provided by God in order to be the sacrifice that makes it possible for us to draw near. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple that separated the holiest of holies from the holy place was torn in two from top to bottom, because now it was possible for people to draw near to God. Now it was possible for us to experience oneness with God because of the blood of the Lamb. But up until that time, it was very important that even Moses respect God's holiness and stay at whatever distance God said. We'll see more of that in the chapters to come.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now God begins to speak to him and reveal himself further. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look at God. The understanding was, if you see God, if you really behold him in all of his glory, you will die. And so Moses, when he realizes who he's dealing with, hides his face, afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. I've seen what's going on. I've heard their cries. I care. God's not only aware of your situation, God cares about what matters. And God not only cares, God says, I have come. That is an amazing picture. That's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but would have everlasting life. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. God not only cares, God comes. He comes to save. He comes to rescue. And that's what we see in this passage. So now, verse 10, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I want you to see something in those verses. God says, I am coming to bring them up out of Egypt and to bring them into the promised land. Then he says, so now I'm sending you to bring them up out of Egypt. God already knew that Moses was not going to enter into the promised land. He was not going to lead the people into the promised land. He was going to lead the people up out of Egypt. But the other thing that I want you to see here is that God, who totally knew the future, who knows the frailty and the faults of Moses, his chosen servant, still chooses to use Moses. Did God need Moses? No. But God likes to work through people. It's his chosen methodology. Doesn't have to, but God loves us. And God wants to use us. And so God chooses to raise up Moses, whose life was planned before the beginning of time. And he says, I'm sending you to bring the people, to tell Pharaoh and to bring the people up out of Egypt. But it's going to be God doing it. Moses is simply the instrument. And there's even going to be a picture of that in the way that Moses and his brother Aaron operate, because Moses will be like God in the relationship and Aaron will be the spokesperson. And that's mirroring the fact that God is the one who's getting things done and Moses is God's mouthpiece. So here the Lord says, I have come down to rescue them and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land. And then God says, verse 10, so now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I want you to pause for just a minute, rewind to what we were talking about a few moments ago. Think about the incredible boredom and sameness and discouragement of day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, Moses, this educated, sophisticated man, being out there in the middle of nowhere, no change, no improvement in situation. It's like, man, I wish something would happen. And now, all of a sudden, God shows up and says, I'm sending you back to Egypt. And Moses is like, whoa, wait, listen, I have responsibility, you know, here. I've got sheep to look after, and, you know, I mean, I've gotten good at this now. I'm a good shepherd, I think. Don't talk to me that way, God, please. Who am I? Why would you send me? I mean, I'm all for the you rescue them part, God. That sounds great. I was with you all the way to verse 10. And then you said something about, so now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God, that is not what I had in mind. I don't feel qualified. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I think we need to rethink this now. I mean, are you aware that when I left Egypt, it was with a bounty on my head? They wanted me dead? You want me to waltz back into the courts of Pharaoh and tell him this is what God says? I'm not sure that's a good idea. I really think you ought to get somebody else. I don't think I'm really cut out for this job. Have you ever done that with God? Have you ever tried to talk God out of what he said? I mean, it's silly, isn't it? But it's sometimes our tendency. Who do you think knows you better, yourself or God? God knows you better than you know you. God knows stuff that you don't even remember about you. And God knows the future, and you don't. And so God says to Moses, I am sending you. I've come to do this, but I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Huge, monumental task. What's the secret? Verse 12. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain. Two things going on in that verse, at least two things, but two that I see that I want us to focus on. One is God's promise is himself. He says, I'll be with you. But I'd really like a sign. Okay? What's the sign? Doesn't say that Moses asked for a sign, but God knew what was in his heart. And so God says to him, the sign will be that after it's done, you're going to worship me on the mountain. I love that. We sometimes have God's promise and these circumstances, and they don't seem to line up. Okay? I mean, God says this, but look at this. When will I know? How will I be sure? Because you're going to see God's promise fulfilled. And when you see God's promise fulfilled, you know what you say? Praise the Lord. It's exactly like God said. When Jesus came the first time, they had this peace and this peace and this peace and this peace. Wonderful promises concerning the first coming of Messiah. They didn't have the whole picture. And when people recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, here's what Jesus said about it. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The reason Peter knew that Jesus was the Messiah is because God the Father revealed it to him. And you and I need to understand that there are many things God says, many things God promises, which after the fact we will understand and say, that's exactly what God promised. But meantime, on the front end, or when we're walking through the middle of it, we're going to look and say, well, I know God promised this, but I don't see how it's all going to work out. Well, you don't have to see how it's all going to work out. You know why? Because God is with you. As you seek to do the will of God, as you seek to be obedient, as you surrender yourself to Him and just do right now what He's told you right now, He's with you. He's with you. He will never leave you or forsake you if you are in Christ Jesus. And if you are trusting in Him and seeking to walk in obedience, God is with you every step of the way. That is His promise, and that is our security. God said, verse 12, I will be with you. Folks, what more could we ask? So Moses says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall ask me, what is His name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Folks, the name of God revealed to Moses changes history. This is the first time God has revealed Himself in this way. But this is the word that changes everything. God gives His name. And as we follow this in what is to come, I want you to see that God revealing Himself, showing us who He is the greatest gift, because our joy is to be with Him. That's what it's about. I wonder this morning, do you know Him, or do you just know about Him? Do you live in the confidence of His promise, I will be with you? Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. But because of His perfect sacrifice, He promised something even more. He that is with you shall be in you. And so for us, because of Jesus, now we can celebrate Christ in you, the hope of glory. God promises to those who trust and obey, I will be with you. And that, beloved, is enough.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.